Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
How about we take and tackle the agenda? What do you say?
Let's go.
These are the top stories that we're following, and we think you might want to follow along too.
Number five.
This is not the candidate the Democrats wanted to run against, Susan Collins. At least the establishment, Chuck Schumer, worked really hard to try and ensure that it wasn't Graham Plattner, and the far left outflanked him.
That's Republican strategist Cassie Smedley on the Faulkner Report, sizing up Graham Plattner's campaign. Chuck Schumer may be even more concerned when we learn more about what Steve Robinson and the Maine Wire are now reporting about Plattner training paramilitary here in Maine. It's also a problem for second congressional candidate Joe Baldacci. And if the baby says it's okay, Steve Robinson will be on the phone with us in the third hour this morning of our program.
Number four.
The governor says she's confident her newly created Maine Data Center Advisory Council will help responsibly balance the benefits of data centers with the risks and potential environmental impacts.
WMTW's Brett Rogers, with a follow-up on, we talked of this yesterday, Sentinel Data, pausing, halting, shelving, short-circuiting. See what I did there?
Ooh.
It's $550 million plan to redevelop the J Mill after Democrats sought to pause, shelve, ban all such projects in Maine. And mentioning the governor's Data Center Advisory Council. Paul Wolf, could you share with listeners what is the question of the day online at WVOMFM.com? It's also on our Facebook and Insta page this morning.
Do you trust Governor Mills' Data Center Advisory Council to guide the state on placing, pausing, or prohibition on data centers in Maine?
I should change that to prohibiting, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Then it could be ING, ING, ING. I'll see if I can make that change in a moment. More than do you trust the governor, do you know who's on that council? Do you know their background, their resume? I'm going to try to get to that during the Newsmakers Hour.
Number three.
Taking care of your future family members, no more nuclear weapons for Iran, and then, of course, from the prosperity standpoint, bringing the price of gasoline down.
That's U.S. Senator Roger Marshall, the Republican of Kansas, on Fox Business, the evening edit. That's his prediction of what's to come if we see Friday's signing of a peace deal with Iran. And he mentions at the end gas prices. Have you watched regular unleaded falling 11 cents in the past week? Now, who was it that told us that gas prices were going to plummet once we started to reach peace? Who was that? I saw him at the big event on Sunday night. Was it
President Trump?
It was President Trump. Oh. Thank you, Paul Wall.
Number two.
I don't think that most of the firefighters here ever felt like this could never happen to them or their friends or their people.
It's Dan Miller of Liberty Fire and Rescue talking with, I believe, WMTW in Searsmont yesterday as the procession for Assistant Searsmont Fire Chief Wayne Woodbury rolled by. He died Sunday of his injuries in the Robbins Lumber Fire. We're awaiting the funeral details for Chief Woodbury.
Number one.
I told him, I said, this is all for you. You're a hero, bud. I mean, what you did, you went in, and what you've gone through in the last 30 days, you're a hero. People recognize that.
Henry Spaulding Sr. talking with WABI TV5. Henry Spaulding Sr. is the father of Montville volunteer firefighter Jacob Spaulding. You might have seen the images on social media yesterday of Jacob leaving the hospital. He's still walking a long road to recovery, but he says he's ready to volunteer again. We have messages out to Jacob to see if he might want to join us by phone and talk about his recovery. But this morning, we want to pivot to, and you've been covering a series of pleas in the case of Braxton Smith, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about this over the past 24, 48, 72 hours. You got to rewind to February 18th of 2024. Braxton Smith, 10 years old, arrives at a hospital in Bangor, injuries life-threatening. The hospital calls Bangor police and calls the Maine Department of Health and Human Services, DHHS, sends a caseworker. Now, that much we know. And then we learn what prosecutors say had been happening inside that home for months. Braxton was, we have to say the word allegedly, even though pleas are now entered into this case. Braxton, 10-year-old, was allegedly starved, restrained by zip ties, kept out of public view. I think that's critical to the conversation. Again, prosecutors tell us that Braxton was kept out of public view. And because he was homeschooled, not enrolled in Bangor schools, there were fewer eyes on him than there would have been in a normal school setting. That was in February of 2024. In March of 2024, public reporting makes something else very, very clear. We don't know if the Department of Health and Human Services or the Office of Child and Family Services had any involvement with Braxton or his family before he was already dying. DHHS would not say. It hid behind confidentiality laws. There's a point to be made here. I don't know if it's Jem Bean, you're going to hear these names again in a moment, or Misty LaTourette. One of the two works in the Department of Health and Human Services, not in the Office of Child and Family Services, but they work within DHHS. But the fact that the Department of Health and Human Services hid behind confidentiality laws, that's what burns. Because Maine has mandatory reporters. For some of you, we're going around a mountain again, and the ruts just keep getting deeper. We have mandatory reporters. If you're a teacher, you are required by law to report to the Department of Health and Human Services any hunch, any sign, any spidey sense tingling of a child being abused or neglected. If you are a doctor, you are to do so. If you are a nurse, you are obligated, charged to do so. If you are a counselor, if you are a social worker, dig down into the law. And I remember the day on Legal Briefs when Brett Baber sat in that chair right over there and read the law to us of who is a mandatory reporter. And the one on the list that all had us going, what is homemaker? We didn't think that meant someone who works in construction. We think if you are simply a homemaker, a neighbor, and if you witness child abuse and neglect, it is your job, it's your task, it's your charge to report it to the Department of Health and Human Services. People are supposed to report suspected abuse or neglect. So what happened here? Was Braxton hidden so completely by his family that nobody saw enough to raise the alarm? Prosecutors tell us that the three apparently did too good a job of keeping Braxton out of view. But still, we have to ask, did somebody see something and not act? Or worse yet, did somebody report something and the public still has not been told? Wouldn't know right now because the Department of Health and Human Services has been, it's my term, it's not what the prosecutors say, hiding behind confidentiality laws. I guess there's another question. Or did the system have some prior contact and now we're never going to hear about it because the state can hide behind that confidentiality now that the Braxton Smith trial is closed? I say closed, but we still have the sentencings. Let me go down the list here. February of 2026, Braxton's mother, Jem Bean, pleaded guilty to manslaughter. And then June 11th, Braxton's father, Joshua Smith, pleaded guilty to depraved indifference murder. One for manslaughter, one for murder. And then the next day, just as she was about Misty LaTourette was about to go on trial, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Today.
And then she pleads guilty to manslaughter. Joshua Smith, the father, pleading guilty to murder. Jem Bean pleading guilty to manslaughter. I want to say it's Jem that works for the Department of Health and Human Services, but I may be wrong. It may be Misty LaTourette.
I keep looking around here.
I could look that up in the archives right now. But so three family members admitting criminal responsibility in the death of this little boy. And that means the criminal case is wrapped up. We say the public case is not wrapped up and it should not be wrapped up because we have some unanswered questions. These are questions that we think the late Bill Diamond would like us to ask. We think it's questions that State Senator Jeff Timberlake would like us to ask. Jeff, if you've got a minute, we'd love to talk with you on the phone here in a bit. And these are also questions that Maine's Child Welfare Ombudsman, the woman's name is Christina Alberi, A-L-B-E-R-I. These are questions that she should be asking. did the state know anything before Braxton got to the hospital that day in February of 2024? Right now, from the public record, all we know is this. DHHS became involved when the hospital called on the night Braxton was brought in. We do not know from public reporting whether the Office of Child and Family Services had him on his radar before that. Do not dismiss that. We do not know from public reporting whether the Office of Child and Family Services had him on the radar. Because if the answer is no, then Maine has to explain how a 10-year-old could be abused that horribly in Maine's third largest city, in a neighborhood, in a community, without one single alarm bell reaching the people tasked with protecting kids? Phil, I see your point. You're sending me in a text message. You hang on. I'm getting to it, okay? I know you told me about a year ago. I'm getting to it. Hang on, buddy. If the answer is yes, if the Office of Child and Family Services had him on the radar, then Maine has to explain who knew what, when they knew it, and why Braxton Smith was not saved. Either way, the silence after case closed, after the upcoming sentencings, that's not a good enough ending. Because when a child does not wind up starved, restrained, brutalized, and dead without leaving behind one giant question mark over the adults, the institutions, and the reporting systems that were supposed to save him from that fate. So we got three people pleading guilty, but Maine should not close the file in the public mind until a couple more questions get answered. Was DHHS only called when Braxton was already dying? Or had somebody, somewhere, tried to raise the alarm before that? Did DHHS get the call and ignore it, fumble it? Because I don't have the names in front of me right now, but I think we've got a list that we could pull up of other kids who have died, too many kids who have died. We don't even have the list of the kids who have been hurt because of the department that is so big. Can't do the job. Logic says that one of three things happened with Braxton Smith. One of three things happened with this kiddo. One, the family successfully hid all the mistreatment of the child. Really? Are we dealing with such criminal geniuses as Jem Bean Joshua Smith and Misty LaTourette that they could hide their actions that prosecutors say they committed against this 10-year-old boy? Number two, someone saw it, but they failed to report it. Could have been a neighbor. Did the kid never go to the doctor? Did the kid never come out of the house? There are photos. Or number three, someone saw it and reported it, but the department failed to act.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.